Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Let's talk tourism now. Tourism is a huge industry in Boston. In 2019, before the pandemic, it was almost 10% of payroll jobs in the city, according to city data. Tourism also took a serious hit at the height of the pandemic, and it has had a patchy recovery. It is Martha Sheridan's job to ensure not only a full rebound, but then take tourism higher. Sheridan is president and CEO of Meet Boston. That's the city's Visitors and Conventions Bureau. And she doesn't just want to grow tourism. She wants to make sure that all of the city's neighborhoods benefit. So the question is, how do you get that done? Well, Martha Sheridan is here in Studio 2. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. That's a big job. Does it feel like a huge job? Does that feel like some sort of huge leap forward? We rebound, we grow, and we benefit every neighborhood in Boston. Is that a huge shift or is that incremental in your mind?
It's incremental, and it's something that we've been working on really since I started my tenure at Meet Boston 5 years ago. But obviously, with the pandemic, you know, it became more acute and more important for us to make sure that we shine a light on every neighborhood in Boston. And we love our downtown area. We love Fenway to Faneuil Hall, the Freedom Trail, and all of that. But we want to make sure that every area, every small business has an opportunity to welcome visitors as well, because it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and we really do need to make sure that we spread that wealth.
So, you know, I dug around in the lexicon, Martha, for the right word about where we are in our tourism recovery. Because, you know, Logan hasn't fully rebounded, but international travel to Massachusetts hasn't fully rebounded. But according to the Executive Office of Economic Development, this is a July 2023 report, domestic visitor spending in Massachusetts in 22 grew $22 billion and exceeded pre-pandemic money. So is patchy, is that a fair word? And if it's not, what's the sort of, you know, up and down and yes and no word that you would pick?
Well, I would say that it's definitely cyclical, and we work in our industry with segments. So I think you need to look at what segments are recovering and which, excuse me, still have a way to go. So like you said, leisure domestic visitation is solid.
What does that mean?
It means people that are coming to Boston, to the greater Boston area, to spend a few nights with their family, tour the area. That's somebody on a vacation.
So you're on a vacation, you're on a college visit,
yes.
You want to see the Tea Party Museum.
Yes.
I'm thinking of that one because of the 250 back in the fall.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's leisure. And that really got us through the later days of the pandemic. The second component is what we call business transient. So that's business travelers coming to Boston, not necessarily for a meeting, but to meet with their businesses that are in our community. So that's more individual travel, people that come for like 3 or 4 nights, typically Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. That has not fully recovered, may not ever fully recover, just because of the new paradigm in how we work, right?
Yeah, so let's stay there for a second. Is it possible, and I think you're saying that it is, that business travel just doesn't exist anymore the way that it did? Maybe that's not a thing the way it used to be.
I mean, it is a thing only because remote work is actually enhancing the need for business travel, right? So if you're a company that's gone fully remote or, you know, mostly remote, you still want those opportunities to bring your people together or to get them back to your home base so that they can, you know, network and meet with their peers. So that sort of is helping the recovery a little bit more. It's definitely with Zoom, with all of the technology that became so prevalent during the pandemic, there are other ways around it. You don't necessarily need to get on a plane, travel somewhere to make that sales call, right? You can start that sales call process remotely, and then maybe you do the in-person. So that definitely is impacting.
So is there any part, and we're with Martha Sheridan of Meet Boston, is there any part of that, okay, everybody could be remote, you've got employers, you've got people far flung, sometimes they're going to need to get together, that enhances business travel in those instances. Any part of that uniquely benefits Boston or is unique to Boston?
uniquely benefits Boston and other cities that have major headquarters here because, as you said, the need for people to convene, for colleagues to convene once a quarter, every, you know, every other month, whatever it might be, is greater now than it was before. So we do see corporate meetings. So that's a separate bucket now than the individual business traveler. But corporate meetings are solid. They're doing quite well. The booking cycle has shrunk, so people are planning them closer in. So we're finding the meetings market has reached almost full recovery.
But that also means, or maybe not but, maybe just and, that also means that, okay, so I've been here 30 years. And in that time, we have had an ongoing conversation about both angst and concern about loss of corporate headquarters in Boston over time. That doubles down on that need to make sure that whatever corporations have their headquarters in Greater Boston, that we keep them if that is going to be a piece of how we not only rebound but grow in tourism and travel business, et cetera, here in the Commonwealth.
Absolutely. So having robust corporate engagement in our communities, having those headquarters in Boston is hugely important to our economy. And tourism wraps right into that. Visitation wraps right into that. Because, for instance, last year, a large insurance company, I won't say who it was actually 2 years ago, right at the end of the pandemic, hosted a huge program here in Boston. And it was a time when we really needed it. So they infused, you know, millions of dollars into our economy by being headquartered here, but also bringing in their counterparts, their colleagues, their customers from across the country. So we absolutely need that. So the third piece that you've already alluded to that is causing a lag for us, if you will, in recovery is the international traveler. So that's why Logan's numbers aren't as robust as they were pre-pandemic. We are continuing to add new direct flights to the UK, to Europe, you know, EU. Even we now have a direct flight back to China, but we had a couple of direct flights to China pre-pandemic. So, you know, when you think about the numbers, that's where some of that lag is. And also we have a visa issue in this country. So the wait times for visas in countries that are required to have a visa to travel to the U.S. are very long. And it's places like India, places like China, huge populations that we know want to visit the U.S., want to come and look at our schools, attend our schools, are having a tough time because of that visa wait time. So that's one of the big challenges that we have.
So is the city of Boston in conversation with the federal government and the departments that control that to seek some kind of relief?
We are. So we work very closely with the U.S. Travel Association, and this is not a Boston problem. It's a U.S. problem. So it's something that has to be addressed on a national level. So the U.S. Travel Association is our advocate in Washington, D.C., and they have been on this issue for a couple of years now, really, to get this thing fixed, because it is hugely important to us. If you decide that you want to come to Boston for a visit, for a school visit, business trip, whatever it might be, and business travel, sometimes it's a little bit easier, but you have to wait months before you can get that visa. So it's easier for them to go to the EU, go to Paris, go somewhere that doesn't have that same lag that we have. So that is really what's impeding our ability to recover international. And some of those markets, China in particular, which was a big visitor market for us, they just haven't fully recovered in the travel space in general. They're just not back to traveling outside of the country as much as they were pre-pandemic.
So, Martha, I'm learning a lot here. That would strike me then that could be concerning for other large industries here in Greater Boston and in the Commonwealth, people who are traveling for healthcare, people who are coming to our very large supply of colleges and universities. Those are just two examples. This sounds like an area of concern across a lot of industries that affect our economic well-being here.
Without question. And the other thing it impacts in the travel space are meetings and conventions. Although, as I said, we're almost at full recovery, we have a lot of meetings that require attract international delegates. So, for instance, the Seafood Show, which we just had, one of our largest shows.
What
huge
is large? What is large?
Oh,
give me an order.
30,000 people. Yeah, it's large. So they you know, they draw from Asia, obviously seafood, right? You associate seafood with Asia, and, you know, that hasn't fully recovered yet. So again, it really is that international piece that is having the most profound impact. But the good news is, at least from the hotel's perspective, while occupancy is not quite where it was pre-pandemic, we're in the low to mid-70s versus probably 80% pre-pandemic, although we do have new inventory, hotel revenue is up double digits year over year from 23 to 24. That means people are coming. Yes, they're paying a little bit of a higher rate, and they're spending more money when they're here. So that's a really good sign for us.
So let's stay on that. And again, we're here with Martha Sheridan, who is president and CEO of Meet Boston, which is the region's convention and visitors bureau. We looked at a particular survey from cheaphotels.org. They used a methodology that compared hotel rates across 50 destinations. And we were, by that methodology, the most expensive city for accommodation, with an average hotel price of $303. Just to compare it, New York City, $288. So it makes sense that even if bookings were down, revenue would be up because of expense. But does that become a rate-limiting factor in the way you can attract people? And how does that affect this vision to bring people to all of Boston? I mean, you don't just want downtown. You don't just want the financial district or the seaport. You want people to come to all of Boston.
Sure. I'm not sure where, what their methodology was. It could have been searching for a particular date as far as room rates go. We are not as high as New York on the average daily rate scale. And we're not as high as places like Honolulu, Hawaii. And there are other cities that are definitely nipping at our heels from a rate perspective, Nashville, Tennessee, et cetera. So
is it fair to say we're pretty high up there?
I'm not going to deny the fact that Boston has high room rates and mostly from, not in the winter months, but from April right through November, our room rates are going to trend higher than most cities. It's supply and demand. I mean, there's no way around it, right? If hotels price themselves the same way airlines price themselves. If they have a lot of empty seats, you're going to get a better fare. If our hotels have availability, you'll get a better rate. But the good news is when our rates are higher, it means our demand is greater. And it means Boston has become a highly sought after visitor destination. So it's a tough balance to achieve, right? You want that popularity. You want to be the city that people want to visit. But when you are that city, which we have become, you do run into challenges with expense. So that's a bit of a problem.
How is it going with this agenda to have people become tourists of all of Boston? What do you use as your metrics there? And how is that going?
So what we've done, and we haven't done a post study to determine the actual success rate, but we are seeing businesses in neighborhoods that are partnering with us that never did before. So for instance, I have a podcast. I just had a guest on. His name is Colin Knight. He runs a business called Live Like a Local Tour, and he's doing extremely well. Of course, every business wants to do better, but he's really grown his business. He does tours of Roxbury and Dorchester, okay?
I think he's been here on WBUR in the recent past.
Amazing. Right now, we're doing restaurant weeks. We have restaurants from every community in that portfolio of 185 restaurants from Hyde Park, from Dorchester, from Roxbury. So that wasn't the case 7 years ago. So we really have expanded our footprint. We are getting people in. We have assets on our website. We provide visitors extraordinary amounts of information on how can they explore other communities. And that's what visitors want. So we're really answering to their needs. And I think it's working anecdotally. I don't have data right now, but that's the next step.
How easy is it for that small business that may not have connections in the city, may not have good relationships there, to break through and become part of this sphere, right, that the city can help drive people and tourists to?
Well, that's what we have been focusing on. Our executive vice president, Helena Ajikaye, has spent the last couple of years working with what we call the Main Streets group. So those are people that represent Main Streets from every community in Boston. And they're spreading the word for us. Hey, is your business a viable destination for visitors? Not every business is, but a lot of them are. A lot of retail, bookshops, breweries, et cetera. And they're sending them to us, and we are offering them. We are a partnership organization, so you make an investment. But for certain size businesses new to the industry, it's a modest investment, but it gets them in the door, gets them represented on our website, in our social media, et cetera. And that's how we're shining the spotlight on some of these extraordinary businesses.
Do we still have a PR problem? The Boston reputation, the dark noir crime, a black mass reputation. I'm thinking about the fact that just recently, December, Netflix releases, this is obviously a true story, but the Charles Stewart murder documentary, Murder in Boston. Max, not Netflix. We just keep coming back around to stories about our history with racism, our history with parochialism. Do we still have a problem?
It depends on who you ask. I think if you ask locals, they might still think so. I think the perception nationally, it's better. And you mentioned crime, Boston, and this is from the city, and I don't know exactly what study they're citing. It's listed as the second safest city in America.
And I want to be clear, I was talking about old stuff.
Yeah, of course. But now, when travelers are sourcing out, where do I want to go? What's my consideration set list? Safety and security and crime is a huge issue, and we check the box as being one of the safer cities to come to. So I think that helps. And, mass culture has created this reputation, right? You mentioned black mass, et cetera. I don't know if we'll ever be able to shake that completely. I think it's better. Anecdotally, we definitely think it's better. And people are coming.
So, for example, a record low 2 homicides so far in 2024. All right. So in our remaining time, what's next, right? There's recover and there's boost. What's the most important next thing we can do as a Commonwealth or as Greater Boston to sort of boost, go into turbocharge?
So that's what we're doing right now at our organization. We have in the last 2 years, implemented a very robust program to put us on the map globally. So, my goal is when I retire in 3 or 4 years, I want Boston to be the best and most well-known global destination. We do that by working with representation firms in key markets. So right now we have firms in 6 markets, mostly in Europe, adding Canada, and we'll start to branch out into South America, potentially Middle East and India. So it's really getting the word out about Boston as this extraordinary global destination and just, really continuing to evolve as a place that people come to more than once.
All right. Martha Sheridan, President and CEO of Meet Boston. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.